around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here. We'd like to welcome everyone to the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Tuesday, February the 28th, 2023, the last day of this month. So if you have an appointment on February the 29th or the February the 30th, you don't really have an appointment because there's not that many days in January. And let me say thank you for those of you who sent me a birthday card. I appreciate that so very much. I appreciate your gift, your giving. Most everything that people send to us, we just put back into the ministry. Somebody will send a check, say, take you and your wife out. And for the most part, we put it back into the ministry. It's all about winning souls. It's about preparing a people for the second advent of Christ our Lord. And we certainly need to be seeking the Lord in this hour. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is in the pardoning business, pardoning us of our sin and of our destruction. He paid the price when he went to the cross. And so now we can be free from the penalty of sin. I think I shared it yesterday, Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That is not the Mosaic law. That is a law of principle, like gravity. It is a principle, the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. Because Adam fell, all of us were then sentenced to death as well. Had he not sinned, we would not have that penalty. We would not have that sentence. But because he did sin, that penalty has been passed on to everyone. But thank God for the vicarious, efficacious work that Christ our Lord did on the cross to free us from the law of sin and death. We can be free from that through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful that he paid the debt in full, and we don't have anything to worry about if we put our faith in the finished work of Christ and what he did on the cross. I want to play a song by the LeBeaus, however you pronounce it, L-E-B-E-A-U-S, and it's entitled Already on My Knees. The greatest posture physically that one could take would be on their knees in prayer to God, communing, fellowshipping with him in fervent prayer. I don't know when I'll quit talking about it because it is so needful in America. America needs a move of God. And I'm convinced only prayer will change our course. I understand changing course after God has meted out judgment. All men, for the most part, will turn. After 9/11, so many people sought God, went to church, etc., etc., and then they fell by the wayside. But it was so stirring, the images of the Twin Towers falling to the ground. America, regrettably, is on the precipice of another fall. In the not-too-distant future, without repentance, America will be shocked at some things that will take place. There are shocking revelations even taking place as I speak. All of the things that are going on are preparing us for an event that will shock the world. Many men have seen visions and been given revelation of the judgment of God on America. But I want to encourage you today to pray. That will mitigate, that will lessen what happens to you when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the fiery furnace. It didn't even hurt them at all. The men that cast them into the fire, they died because of the excess heat. It killed them. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their hair was not singed, nor even the smell of smoke on their clothing. They were thrown in there with hands bound. But King Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four men walking around, and one appears to be like unto the Son of God. Who was in the furnace? Jesus. That's who Nebuchadnezzar saw. He saw Christ, Son of God. What a revelation. Yes, he did ultimately repent, but God had to smite him because of his arrogancy and pride. For 7 years, he lost his mind. Can you imagine that? 7 years having lost your mind, your fingernails are like claws on a bird, feathers growing out of your back like a bird. And God took his mind. Dew fell on him because he was like an animal, a creature out in the field. But in God's vast mercy, he restored Nebuchadnezzar back to his right mind. You know, that's a fearful, a frightening thought that God could just take a man's mind, just suddenly take his mind. You see, one day Nebuchadnezzar walked into his palace. He looked at all of the colonnades, all the pillars, all the finery, all the things that he had built. And he took the credit for it. He took the credit for it. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And then God immediately smote him. And the Bible says he was driven from men and he ate grass like an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle feathers and his nails like birds' claws. 7 years he lived in that state. And then one day, God restored all of that back to him. And here's the renowned words of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4 and 37. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Wow. All that walk in pride, he's able to abase. America needs to get off her pedestal of pride and repent and say, God, be merciful to us. That was always the thing I feared for Donald Trump. Pride and arrogancy, we all have too much of it. Every one of us does. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, according to Proverbs 8:13. We're to hate that. Sadly, some of us have too much of that in our hearts. But I can tell you how to keep it out. You keep it out by prayer. Listen to this song today, rather up-tempo, entitled Already on My Knees.
fight like a man. But I don't go to battle that way. My captain tells me he's got a plan. All I have to do is pray. And bring distractions, bring your games, whatever lies in wait for me. Can't knock me down when I'm already on my knees. Cause when I start to feel some peace, you're on me like a hungry lion. Slay that beast, so you might as well quit your trying. You don't scare me. Come on, heartache, come on, pain. Bring the bad times, bring the rain. You can't get me when I pray. No matter what you do or say, come against me, come with me. And bring distractions, bring your games. Whatever lies in wait for me can knock me down when I'm already on my knees. Oh, come on, heartache, come on, pain. Bring the bad times, bring the rain. You can't get me when I pray. No matter what you do or say, come on, may bring distractions, bring your games, and whatever lies in wait for me can knock me down when I'm already on my knees. Can knock me down when I'm already on my knees.
Rather hard to be knocked down when you're on your knees. Amen. I want to pick back up today in 2 Kings 22, verse 17. We've been there for about 4 days now, 4 programs. Because they have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. Sadly, but Judah and Israel both had utter contempt for God and His most holy word. They didn't believe the word of the Lord. Sadly, the modern church does no longer believe in the word of God. Romans 3:18 says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The multitudinous of iniquitous acts and deeds that are done in America are mind-boggling. No fear of God. The arrogancy. When they passed the abortion law in New York about 3 or 4 years ago, they stood up and they lauded the murder of children. You know what followed that? COVID. And it smote New York profusely, and untold thousands died. No man can shake his fist in the face of Almighty God and think they can get away with that. To think there are no repercussions for sin. There's always a penalty for sin. This is why I advocate sowing seeds of righteousness, that you are never forced to reap a harvest of judgment. You must seek to sow doing the right things all the time. It must become a way of life. Solomon said in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word of God will give you wisdom and give you instruction. When you read the old patriarchs from Genesis to Revelation, you read the founding fathers of America, Daniel Webster, who we get the Webster's Dictionary. When you read these men, they always had the Word of God in their lives. That's what made them who they were. You want to find intelligent people, find those who have a comprehension of the Word of God. Those who use the Word of God as their benchmark. That is where they measure everything according to the Word of God. Those are people who, have, number one, have a fear of God, and they have great knowledge of God, and they have great wisdom of God, and it helps them to navigate the peril and the danger and the toil of life. Life. Israel had left God. Most people today do not believe that God is a God of judgment. They do not believe his word because, like Israel and Judah, they hold the word of God in contempt and in unrighteousness. I read just the other day, Andy Stanley, that is Charles Stanley's son, has a mega church down there in Georgia. I think it's in the Atlanta area. You know what he said the other day? Homosexuals have more faith than Christians. What is happening to people? He is embracing the sin of homosexuality. And every time I read things like that and I hear things like that, I ask myself this question. If that sin is embraced by God, then we cannot preach on adultery. We cannot preach on fornication. We cannot preach on drunkenness. We cannot preach on lying. We cannot preach on stealing. If that's not a sin, how then can anything else be a sin? But this is the duplicity, the power of deception in the earth. Anybody that had a right mind would not sit under that kind of ministry. You see, that's rather harsh. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, what happens to both of them? He said, they fall in the ditch. That typifies destruction, lost without God. That's what that means. You're going to fall in the ditch. I've said it for years. We have created churches, organizations, denominations, and you can find one that will fit your lifestyle and say, hey, you're all right. How many times in the last 20 years have we seen churches get a 501c3, they get into the court of law, and you know what they're arguing over? The right to smoke pot. It's a green herb. And what did he say in the book of Genesis? I've given you every green herb for meat to eat. And they say, see there, because God gave us that, it's okay. That's not okay, because that is a result of the curse on the earth. The coke plant, you know, snorting coke, making the coke for people to snort or to shoot, however they ingest it or put it in their body. A dove won't go eat that. A dove will not mess with pot. Even a cow will not even eat certain kinds of grass because it's not good for them. See, that's because of the fall. These things are because of the fall. Man was to have never been carnivorous. vegetables and fruits and nuts and all of those things while in the garden. There was not to be bloodshed and killing animals. But now there is. But that's because of the curse of sin. And that curse still is in effect to this day. You don't believe it? Go back and look at a picture of yourself 20 years ago. See how much different you look. Why? Because the body is struggling to replicate that cell, so it loses a generational loss. And it's called aging. Aging. And here we go down the path of aging. Israel came to a point where they rejected, they spurned, they castigated God's word. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah 6:10 says, "Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach unto them. They have no delight in his word." That word reproach in the Hebrew means God's word is a disgrace. Think of that. They say, Israel, Judah said, God's word is a reproach. God's word is a disgrace. But that's not true. God's word is holy. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God's word is eternal because God is the word. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth thereof, but the word of our God shall endure forever. And yet men have absolute contempt and disdain for God's word. And this is why there's a famine of the word, because people look at God's word as being too demanding. God's word is difficult to live. God's word is difficult to bear. So we don't want to hear the word of the Lord. But that should be everyone's desire, especially believers, Christians, should say, I want to hear what God has to say. I want to hear what thus saith the Lord. I don't want to hear what man's got to say, because every word of a man is temporal. It's temporal. Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, the king, what doest thou? Why are you doing that? You see, no man can darken God's counsel. And as I said, In the beginning of this teaching, they discovered the word of God in the temple. Some believe that one of the priests hid it because Manasseh and Anon were wicked, vile, evil men, and they had contempt, utter disrespect for God and his word. So one of the temple priests hid it. And that's how it was rediscovered. And then the word was read to Josiah, and it pricked his heart. Isaiah 5:24, therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law, or the word of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Boy, is that not applicable to America today? Think of that. This is what Isaiah said about Israel, and this is what's taking place. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust. Why is this going to happen? Because they have cast away the law, or the word of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Elohim, Jehovah, Jesus, he is the Holy One of Israel. And it is, they have cast away the word of the Lord. They've cast it to the side. America in general has cast away God. They've cast away his word. They've cast away his principles. And this is why we're beginning to reap such tragic events, not only in America, but around the world. The world is convulsing. The world is struggling. The world is grappling with everything right now. It is sad. It is tragic, but it is the time in which we are living in. And one day, God is going to vent his anger and his wrath. Remember Psalm 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. He doesn't vent anger and wrath every day, but he is angry. But what men are doing, they're storing up on their account. They're storing up God's wrath for the day of judgment unless they have godly repentance. It's as though they're depositing God's wrath in their checking account, and one day God's going to vent his wrath on those because his cup will have become full. Can't take anymore. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now what that means there in Romans 1:18, ungodly, unrighteous men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I've never seen such a time when there is a suppressing, there is an oppressing, there are squandering, they're trying to do away with the word of God. Preachers today don't want you to know the truth. This is what happened to Israel and Judah. They came to a state and a place, they had abandoned God's word, they had forgotten the truth of God's word, they had gotten so far removed from God. And they didn't want to hear what God had to say. America's in the same condition. Don't tell us what God says. Don't tell us the will of God. Don't tell us how we're to conform to God's word. We don't want to conform to the word of God. We're going to blatantly, flagrantly, openly oppose God and his word. How dare Andy Stanley dress down every believer in his church that's not a homosexual? Castigate, impinge every Christian believer and says the homosexual community has more faith than you do. Folks, they're not saved. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be ugly. But Paul is clear in Romans chapter 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When we get into 2 Kings chapter 23, you're going to see how they had the groves and the homosexuality. And see, Josiah tore all that down. That was part of the Reformation. That was part of the revival, to destroy the works of sin. Instead of destroying the works of sin, we laud, we elevate, we extol wickedness. They were talking about a couple weeks ago the Academy Awards. I could care less about that garbage. One of the news feeds said, showed a segment where one lady said, the world needs to hear from God. You're not going to hear from God at the Academy Awards, I can tell you that. You're not going to hear from God there. You need to hear the word of the Lord from those who live and abide by it. Perversity has engulfed this nation. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word is a hit. Who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteous. They are unrighteous men, and that's why they suppress the truth. They don't want you to know what God demands, because they're interested in two things, money and numbers. Money and numbers. I used to have other talk show people say, how many YouTube subscribers do you have? How many of this do you have? How much money do you take in? Why are you concerned about that? The question should be, how many souls are we winning for Christ? How many lives are being changed? How many discouraged people are being encouraged and strengthened by the Word of God? No, they're in it for all the wrong reasons. I wouldn't be in ministry if it had not been for the Lord calling me. Because I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and I ran, and I didn't want to be a preacher. You see, we have those who want to be in a place of authority so they can dictate and control people's lives. I didn't want any place of authority. I didn't want a ministry. I didn't want a pulpit. I didn't want to work for God. That's my natural fallen nature opposing God. Every God-called man has been touched for a reason. Truly God-called men are different. Not because they're who they are. They're different because God touched them. Samuel was different because God touched him. Saul became Paul was different. Why? Because God touched him. Peter became different because God touched him. James became different because God touched him. Most people believe that John Mark wrote the book of Mark. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He's the young man that Paul and Barnabas had a point of contention. And yet God allows John Mark to write one of the Gospels. Why? Because when God touches anything, it all of a sudden becomes different. I preached at a ministerial conference once in the Church of God, and they choose your subject for the meeting, and the subject was evolving around obedience unto Christ. And me being the guy that I am and different, needless to say, I preached on disobedience. I felt that's what the Lord wanted me to preach about disobedience. And I preached about Saul. How the Bible said after God touched him, he was a different man. And I said, when God touches your life, I'm preaching to nothing but ministers. Hundreds, probably pushing 1,000 ministers I'm preaching to. When God touches your life, you are different for a reason. You are set apart for a reason. Everybody that says they're called of God is different. Not because of who you are or your name or your education or lack of one. You're different because God chose you. He chose you. Out of all the people in the earth, God looks down at one man and says, hey, Noah, you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to be a preacher of righteousness. You're going to build an ark. See, Noah's marching right along with the world. He's there. He's going through his everyday life. And God says, I'm going to pause your life. I'm going to stop you. You're going to take about 100 years and build this ark. And then I'm going to send judgment. And you're going to preach the judgment of God in the earth. And I'm sure all the old timers sitting around McDonald's and Hardy's in the morning eating their sausage biscuits and drinking their coffee. Said, is not that guy an idiot? Is not that guy stupid out there? You see, it had never rained. God was still watering the earth from a mist in the earth, kind of like dew. Hadn't rained yet. So Noah's preaching, it's going to rain. God's going to open up the fountains of the deep and going to flood the earth. What a kook. What an idiot. What a buffoon. And yet God put Noah in the ark and waited 7 more days. Yet waited 7 more days just to see, would anybody believe? You know, you talk about a God of miracles. I'm often amazed when I read the Bible and I see how creation honors God, obeys God, and does what God wants him to do. God prepared a big fish, some call it a whale. It swallowed Jonah. After 3 days, it vomited Jonah out. Jonah said, I'll go to Nineveh now and I'll preach the word. Balaam is having a conversation with a jackass. I mean, they're sitting there. If a mule, a donkey started talking to me, I'm going to say, what in the world is going on? But it didn't seem to bother the old boy. He's taking his rod. He's beating that jackass. Go around. Go around. God had to open up the prophet's eyes to see the angel. And the angel said, I would have spared the mule and killed you. See, even a mule had enough sense to not disobey God and go around the angel. The fish that Peter went and caught had a shekel in its mouth. The rooster that crowed that morning was a messenger for God. Yet men, the highest level of creation and God's creativity, and man is the most rebellious, heady, high-minded, and hard and calloused hearts. What a tragedy. What a absolute, utter tragedy. Men that should know better, and yet live in utter rebellion towards God. Creation doesn't do things like that. You know, I've raised on a farm, and I kept cows for probably 30 to 35 years of my life as an adult. Never seen a bull try to mate with a sow. Just, that's a pig, sow pig, female. A boar is a male pig. Never saw a bull try to do that, or vice versa. I never saw sheep and goat try to mix. Yet man is so depraved, he will try to have relations with a beast, an animal. What depravity? What cynicism? What? How ludicrous, and yet men think they're smart, they're brilliant. There's laws on the book about bestiality. Why would you need a law for that? Because men are stupid. I mean, utterly, absolutely, totally given over to satanic spirits. Stupid. We as Christians are so sheltered. We have no idea to how corrupt everything is. I read the other day where Zelensky has a $35 million mansion in Florida. How did he get that? All the billions we're sending over there. I mean, this whole thing is rotten. I mean, just utterly, absolutely rotten to the core. And yet people have the audacity to say, well, I think Pastor Lankford preaches too hard. I think he's just too straight, too narrow. Really? And you got we live in a day when a man can wake up one morning and say, "Hey, I'm a woman." Put on lipstick. Why do you have to do that? What's wrong with us? We have forgotten God. You see, God keeps balance and steadfastness operating in your life. God keeps common sense in your life. He keeps you, you might say, rational. You take God out, you become irrational. They forgot God. They burned incense. And thus the anger of the Lord was kindled against them for the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Listen to me. Once God begins to vent his wrath, it cannot be stayed until he's finished the judgment to the degree he has predetermined. Remember Jesus talked about a servant being beat with few stripes, one being beaten with many stripes because he knew the master's will? See, when God begins to mete out the punishment, the judgment, you know, if you could, let's just say it could be measured in pounds. And God says, I'm going to mete out 1,000 pounds of judgment on America. And to South America, I'm going to mete out 500 pounds of judgment. Less stripes, less punishment, less judgment. To whom much is given, much is required. There's never been a nation like America other than Israel. The privileges, the liberty, the freedoms. And what have we done? We have perverted every bit of that. Every blessing of God in this nation has been perverted. I mean, there was a day when you burned down courthouses and police stations and police departments and police vehicles, etc. You were punished and put in jail for your crimes. Now they just set them free. And an honest citizen who errs in some capacity, speeding ticket, accident, doing their income taxes, oh, they'll put you in jail. Yeah, look at all the January 6th people that's still in jail rotting, suffering, because they got a little rowdy. The asininity of the media saying, well, there's a few buildings on fire, there's a few police cars on fire, and there's a few muggings and shootings, but other than that, it's pretty much a peaceful protest. This is how depraved men are, and they think they're smarter than us. You're not smart. If you were really smart, you would fear God. Jesus warned us, don't fear those who can destroy your body. Fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's the man, he said, you want to fear. These other chumps out here, he said, you don't have to fear them. No, because after he said they've killed you, what else is there left that they can do to you? Well, the truth is, after they kill you, there's nothing left that they can do to you. Nothing. You're already dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. Yo, they may take your carcass and treat it unbelievably, et cetera, but after you have died, what else can they do to you? This is the world in which we are living in. I'd rather fear God and stand before God with clean hands and a pure heart than ever fear mankind. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the only life. Because like I said, once they've done all they can do to us, there's nothing left they can do to us once a man passes on and goes out into eternity. There's nothing left to do. See? But the world has a different perspective, don't they? The world does not see things through the lens of God's Word or through the lens of the Holy Spirit. If we look at the world through the lens of God's Word and through the lens of the Holy Spirit, we will have great conviction in our lives and say, well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to live like that. Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's who Jesus said to fear. Well, who is that? That's who he is. Jesus is the righteous judge, and he can do those things. He can do those things because he is God. So judgment is imminent on Judah and Israel. And it will come. But because of God's mercy, judgment will be delayed until after the passing of Josiah. Let me go to verse 18. 2 Kings 22:18. But to the king, Josiah of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. So God, through the prophetess Huldah, is sending a message back to Josiah. Huldah is led by the Holy Ghost to give Josiah a personal word from himself, a pure, unadulterated, thus saith the Lord. Some of you listening, just like me, there have been times in your life that someone gave you a prophetic word for guidance and for direction. I'll never forget the time I was in Denver, Colorado. This was in 1998. Wow, 25 years ago. On Saturday morning, I had been praying. I was in a revival there, the old Maryland Hickey Church. And I was praying, God, show me the end of the ministry. Show me where I'll be. Show me what I'll be doing. That was Saturday morning. I preached Saturday night. And then we had church Sunday morning. Sunday morning I preached. I don't even remember what I preached. But I remember I probably prayed for 200 people in the altar, and I was tired. I was trying to get out of the building, and I was discovered an exit. There were like five sections of pews on the first floor, then the balcony. And I was trying to dart out the door. I wanted to get away and just rest. I was tired. But a lady stopped me. She might have been 4 feet, 8 inches tall, white-headed. And she stopped me and she said, I was in prayer yesterday. I saw your face and God gave me a word for you. And I said, okay. And I just kind of bowed my head and closed my eyes. And she said, the Lord will not show you the end of the ministry. You must walk by faith. You must trust in the Lord and be led by the Holy Ghost. That prophecy is 25 years old. I have never forgotten it. There were four distinct things there. I was praying, God, show me the end of the ministry. She said, God said, I will not show you the end of the ministry. Did that hurt my feelings? Absolutely not. Because you see, God knows what's best. But then I was admonished. You must walk by faith. You must trust in the Lord, and you must be led by the Holy Ghost. And I pray that prophetic word back to the Lord many times. Many times I've prayed that back to God. Here's what you said, Lord. Now, I knew that was a genuine word from God because, as I said, I was praying Saturday morning, show me the end of the ministry. Show me what I will be doing. And the prophecy began by saying, God said he was not going to show you the end of the ministry. Why? Because he said, I want you to walk by faith, trust in me, and be led by the Holy Ghost. So there are many times I pray, Lord, I'm trying to obey not only your written word, but the prophetic word. You said you will not show me the end. Okay. You said I must walk by faith. I must trust in you, and I must be led by the Holy Ghost. I will do that as best as I know how. Help me. Help me to be led by the Holy Spirit. Touch out my faith. Touch my unbelief. Touch my weaknesses, my fragilities. God, touch me that I can do those things that honor and bring glory to your name, Lord. I try every day when I'm in a situation praying about something, trying to get the mind of God. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should we try to do this or get on this television network or whatever we're trying to do? We always acknowledge God so that he will direct our paths. And sometimes I don't get any direction. I don't get any instruction, so I just wait. And you see, while I'm waiting, I'm walking by faith, and I'm trusting him. Remember the three things: walk by faith, trust in me, and be led by the Holy Spirit. When you're waiting on God, you're not wasting time. You're walking by faith and you're trusting him. Do we really walk by faith? Do we really trust in the Lord? Or is it just words, vain words? I want to be a soul winner for Christ. I want to win souls as never before. I want to do so much for God in my latter years, because one day the time will come, whether he returns or I'll get too old and I can't do things for the Lord. Remember, time is a precious commodity. Ephesians 5 and 16, Paul said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Romans 13, 10, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We are another day closer to the coming of Christ. And tomorrow will be another day closer. And we're getting closer all the time to the second advent of the Messiah, Jesus the Lord Christ. I believe the coming days are going to demand we walk by faith. The coming days are going to demand we trust in the Lord. And it will be imperative that we be led by the Holy Spirit. And you must be in prayer. You must be in communion. You must be in fellowship with God to be led by the Holy Spirit. As I said, I believe it was yesterday, Jesus, standing at the tomb of Lazarus, said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." He had already prayed about this. God had already answered prayer, and it was God's will to raise Lazarus from the dead. And what I find so mind-boggling is in the 12th chapter of John. Because in the 11th chapter of John, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, here's Lazarus, a dead man. It's the fourth day of his death, so he's stinking by now because his body's profusely decomposing. Jesus resurrects Lazarus from the dead. Now, Lazarus is sitting at a table with Jesus. Lazarus hasn't done anything. He hasn't risen up against the religious crowd, the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Sanhedrin or Caiaphas the high priest, nothing. He just got a miracle. He just got a miracle from God. But the Bible says they sought not only to kill Jesus, but to kill Lazarus, because some people believed in his resurrection. So he was influencing people's lives because of the testimony that he possessed. John 12, verses 9 through 11. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, meaning Jesus and Lazarus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he, Christ, had raised from the dead. So, you know, Lazarus just got a miracle. He wasn't a rebellion. He wasn't a rebel leading a rebellion against the establishment. Nothing. Here's what the Bible says there in John 12 and 10. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. You talk about killing the messenger. That's the embodiment of it right there. Lazarus, God bless the man, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything but get raised from the dead. But you see, his testimony brought fear and anxiety to the religious faction and crowd. And they said, well, we got to kill him too. I learned something about religious people. They'll kill you. I said, they will kill you. You don't believe that? Then you don't believe the word of God. We see right there, they tried to kill or was going to kill Lazarus. What did Jesus say in John 16, verse 2? They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. I mean, I hope to God none of us ever become so deceived we can physically, literally murder people and say, well, I just did God's will. Charles and I were talking today before this recording about Saul. He's killing Christians, taking them out of the synagogue and killing them. The book of Acts says he was hailing, H-A-L-I-N-G, meaning he was dragging Christians to their death. He had the papers. He had the right, the religious authority to do it. This is why I keep saying we have further to go. Because none of us are suffering that kind or that level of persecution, but it is coming. It is coming. I can't say when. I can't put a timetable on it. But we will be persecuted not because of our education or lack of one or our stature or our last name, though some Jews will be persecuted because of their last name. Because the world is becoming more anti-Semitic every day. So this is the world in which we live in. And it will become more troublesome. Pressure, persecution, tribulation, Jesus called it. Let me encourage you again in closing today. Please pray. Read your Bible. Stay in God's presence. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will edify you. He will lift you up. And again, may I encourage you today to pray for the retirees whose money is running short because of inflation. I said a year ago this coming March, after Biden made his first State of the Union address, he said, you'll be better off a year from now. I said, take you a sticky note. Write the date, the month he said it, put it on your refrigerator, and a year later, ask yourself, are you doing better? I said, we would all be doing worse. Not that I wanted to say that, but I know the truth. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.